What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Tori Forsythe. How are you?
I'm good. How you going?
Good, good. So we were just talking, and I hear you are in Louisville. I'm from Kentucky, so that's pretty cool. So I guess you're on the road, keeping pretty busy. What have you been up to? Just give us kind of the lowdown.
Yeah, we just left Lexington. We just did we've just come straight from Hound FM in Lexington and did an interview there with Matt Wickstrom. Is it Wickstrom or Wickstorm? I don't know. But with Matt, and that was so much fun. And we've been basically, we were in Nashville for a week. Went to Lexington for a few days. I went to Railbird, and now we're in Louisville because I've got a bit of an affinity for paranormal things, and this is like my downtime, if you will, while we're here, because it's my birthday in a few weeks. So I was like, I want to go and see haunted things in Louisville whilst we're there. So that's why we're here.
Awesome. That sounds like a blast. You said you were at Railbird. How was that?
Oh, so much fun. So much fun. We were there. Our buddy is the tour manager for Nicholas Jameson. So we were there supporting those guys. They were awesome. They put on such a great show. It was a really epic day.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. But let's kind of jump into things just so people could get to know you who might not know you yet. Obviously, Australian. I don't know a lot about Australia, but I do know good music comes from there. Can you kind of give us a background on like how that scene was for you when you were coming up, or like how the country music scene is over there, or whatever you would like to call it?
Yeah, it's interesting. I definitely got made fun of in country was definitely not cool when I was in school. It was a very dorky thing to like, so you kind of just didn't talk about it. But I grew up riding horses. It was very much part of my life, my lifestyle. And my mom listened to a lot of the 90s country, like Faith Hill and Garth Brooks. And I kind of found my own path. I kind of fell into a bit of, I mean, Paramore was my favorite band. When I discovered Paramore in high school, it was like I became obsessed with Paramore. During high school, I kind of had this melting pot. This is what made me a little bit weirder as well, because obviously you have the rock crowd, and then you like pop punk, and then country was not part of that. So my musical taste spanned quite a lot of different genres. And when you're already an outcast and you have different outcasts as a melting pot for your interests, it makes for a bit of a dork. So growing up in Australia with a love for different subcultures was definitely interesting.
Yeah, I'd imagine. And but when you come over here, like the first time you came over here or whatever, however that worked out, I'd imagine your sound was probably embraced pretty well, I'd say. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, I mean, our first experience, we came over for a bit over a month last year, and we were kind of mostly cruising around Kentucky. We dipped over to Nashville to play CMA Fest last year, but we were mostly around Kentucky. So we played Sleeping in the Woods, which is a festival curated by Nicholas Jameson, and then we played Laurel Cove Festival, which is one of the greatest festivals I think we've ever played. Have you been to Laurel Cove?
I have not been there. I know it's about to start. I'm kicking myself for not going, but we could talk a bit about that too. Like how was that whole thing?
Oh, it's amazing. The community, honestly, it's interesting. Kentucky has, when I talk about growing up with a lot of different subcultures, it's coming to Kentucky and meeting all the people that we have so far in Kentucky. They love all the music I grew up listening to. Like not only do they know the music that I grew up listening to, but they love all of it. So we fit right in because my whole band have a really eclectic music taste. So we kind of, it was like a whole new world for us to be able to land here and make so many connections with so many people. I mean, when we were just having that chat with Matt Wickstrom I think it's Wixstorm. I can't pronounce it, but I don't know if I'm saying it correct, so I apologize if to Matt. But you know, he, I rattled off a bunch of artists to him, and he knew every single one of them. Was like, wow, you have such a diverse range. And so it's, we're continuing to meet people and chat with people who just love music for music's sake. And that's that makes us feel right at home. So we can play, you know, a Deftones cover in a honky tonk sort of dive bar, and everyone's like, "I know this song," and it just resonates well. So, you know, it's we really love it here. We love Kentucky. We found a bit of a home. It's very similar to where we live in Queensland, climate wise and everything like that. So yeah, we feel very at home here.
That's awesome. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. I find around here, it's everyone is very accepting of other people's styles and sounds, but also it's just like, it's kind of built into, it's like its own culture, kind of. Like, I feel like you can't put a label on the music, like around here or anything like that. And kind of hitting off that, because I want to talk about your sound a bit, because you're one of those artists who, like, you can't put a label on it, and I think that's a really good place to be nowadays, like in 2026. Like, genres don't really matter, I don't think, at least from a listener's point of view, and I'm sure from an artist too. So I guess this is kind of a bland cliche question, but if you had to describe your sound, like how would you describe it if you had to?
I've gone for grunge country, and I've only just landed on this after like over a decade of playing music and then getting asked, what's your genre, and having a really terrible answer because I never knew what to say. I'll go, oh, it's kind of country, kind of alternative, kind of rock, kind of bluesy, kind of, like, it, you know, going forever. But it is, it's hard to categorize, but I've kind of landed on grunge country because I feel like, you know, the grunge era of the 90s really kind of, it in of itself was a melting pot of rock and but also, you know, you listen to Nirvana and all their acoustic stuff, that could probably get away with being acoustic country music now. I think that you're right, that there's, people are spanning genres. I don't necessarily know if it works in my favor yet. I'm waiting for it to work in my favor. But I do feel like grunge country kind of sums it up. It's grittier, but it's still country. We're still playing country music, but you definitely, when you show up to a show, you're going to get a rockier set for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I listened to Guns and Little Girls, which was your newest song, came out not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, maybe now. And it blew me away because it is one of those songs. It's like, if someone asked me to describe what that sounded like, I couldn't, which I think is the best thing, because there was even hints of like psychedelia in it, and it just rocked. So I guess might as well talk about that now. And is there, like, what made you kind of hit on, like, you've been trying to do the grunge country thing, but what made you want to like explore this song's sound in particular? Like, how'd that all come about?
I wrote that song after listening to The Cramps all morning. I think if you put The Cramps on in the morning, you're having a good day. Like, you can't not have a good day. It just makes you, it's like feel good music. So I wrote that, like, the acoustic guitar part after listening to The Cramps all morning. And then when I was writing it, I also, like, I was listening to a lot of Muse at the time. So in the second verse, it's very, like, vocally inspired by Muse, how they sing quite like falsetto, quite high. So it's definitely, like I said, it's a mixing pot, this one. It's so distorted. Everything was recorded with so much distortion. Matt, my guitar player, played this little pedal steel, lap steel thing. It's just like, it's this big, and it's not big at all. And he just was sitting there just playing with sounds for hours. The drums are distorted. Everything on that song is distorted. So it was really fun to kind of just lean in and just play around with all these different noises that we've just never experimented with before. And that's probably why it's one of my favorite tracks on the record, because it was just so much fun. Like, every single person that laid anything on that track was just like, let's see what this sounds like, and just experimented and had a lot of fun with it. So I think you can really feel that when you're listening to it.
Yeah. And like, it's just such a, like, in the best way possible, such a weird sound. And that's like right up my alley, like that kind of stuff. So I was hooked immediately to that. And is there like a theme or a story behind that you might want to like tell us about or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. There's, I feel like I always say something different when I talk about my like lyrics, because it, not to be a pain, but because on the day it generally means something different. But with this particular song, it generally, it's genuinely just my, I guess, opposition to the way we're going with technology and feeling like, you know, I've been doing this for over a decade now, and I feel like there's always something new, especially when you're talking algorithms and whatever, there's always like a new thing to learn. The internet's not designed for us to know how to use it. It's always changing, forever updating, forever subscribing and whatever. There's always something new for us to like try to have to consume, to understand, to be able to do music through it. And the way that artificial intelligence is creeping in and absolutely wreaking havoc on music, it's kind of just me going, I have no idea like what we're doing with this thing, and I don't like it, but I'm doing it anyway because there is no way I can't continue to do music, I guess. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in a nutshell.
Yeah, it just, and you bring up a good point there, and like, and when I think of like just like AI in general, like obviously everyone has their beliefs on it and this or that. And like people fight against it and some people don't. It's just like, I don't think I know even what AI is enough to fight against. I think it's just like, we all got to kind of just wait and see what happens. You know what I mean?
I don't think any of us know, you know, and I think it's, I've watched a lot of celebrities try to go, you have to learn it. I'm like, I don't know if we're ever going to really learn it. Like it's one of those things that's just going to keep growing, and we're just going to keep having to keep up. And you know, I'm not naive. I know that it's going to be there, and I mean, you have to use it. You can't get away in Western society now without using it. It's part of our lives. So I'm not naive to that, but I do think that we're at the beginning of watching what it could potentially look like to be very bad, particularly in creative industries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess. But moving on to more of your a creative like methods and just like your process when you do create songs and stuff. When you, obviously this song being a great example, it seems like you're not afraid to experiment with different sounds, anything like that. Is that natural to you? Like when you go in and you like want to make something different, is it kind of hard to take that next step? How do you navigate that?
I think if I think about it too much, it becomes a hard thing for me. It's very much, I did not think at all or in, you know, sit down and go, oh, what can we do with this? It's always very much, I have this idea, let's try it. And for me with songwriting, and this, I know this, like every time I say this, I feel like I'm trying to flex, but I'm really not. It's just genuinely how I write a song, but I find it really hard to work on a song for a long period of time. If I try to make it too perfect, it generally ends up worse. So I've learned to kind of, if it's not working within the first half hour, 45, then just drop it and move on. And if I can't get it out of my head, then I'll come back to it. But if it's something that just kind of falls away, then I'm like, well, it wasn't meant to happen. So I think, and you know, I've had songs on previous records, like I have a song called All For You that I wrote the chorus for like 5 years before I really recorded it, and then it turned into a whole new song because the chorus just kind of kept coming up. So I just rewrote the verses and chucked it on my second record. So it's, yeah, for me, it's very much, it's all about intuition and just feeling it. And that might sound cheesy and whatever, but I think I find it really hard to orchestrate creativity. I find it hard to like, I've learned this about myself, that if I put too much effort into it, it's generally going to probably fall apart. So yeah, it's just allowing it to happen and not forcing it to happen. And I wish I could take that into my life, because I'm a control freak, but with creativity, I seem to have that strategy down.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of where I was leading next, is like, when I'd imagine, as a songwriter, when you think back to when you first started songwriting or started to get into it, you might have had like this, like, all right, there's rules to this that I need to follow. Like, there's different approaches that I need to do. And does that kind of just die out over time? It's like, whatever, I create my own method when it comes to creating. And like, kind of how you explained there, like, you have your own rhythm down. Is it hard to kind of, I guess, grow into your own songwriter, if that makes sense, and not follow those like rules that people might set?
I think I have the benefit of being really naive when I started. I didn't know anyone doing music. I didn't know much about the process. All I did was listen to it and have a guitar. My dad put me in guitar lessons when I was 16 because he wanted something for him and I to do together. He quit and then I kept going. So I think that for me, it was just learning songs that I really loved, playing them in my room. I was an extremely shy kid and teenager. I didn't sing in front of people until I was 19. So it's something that I slowly kind of came to terms with that I could do. I was singing for a while and then playing the guitar and just kind of figuring it out alone in my bedroom. And I think that having no real instructions or no real getting taught how to write a song actually benefit me before I even went into a studio or anything like that. I'd already had a bunch of songs that I was kind of like, I kind of showed up and was like, hey, I wrote these things. Are they any good? Can we record them? And I ended up being extremely lucky. The man who engineered and produced, the man who produced my first EP, it was friends with a really prolific songwriter in Australia named Shane Nicholson. And he had a studio and he engineered the first EP and he played most, like, a lot of the instruments and he sang on it. So I kind of fell into good hands really early on as well, which I think definitely helped me feel comfortable, because I didn't go, oh, you should change this. They were like, this is, let's just work with this and expand on it, rather than, oh, you should probably change this to suit the structure. Because I go back and I go, wow, that's a weird thing to do when you're with a song, like, structurally. But yes, I think just being naive, honestly, worked for me.
Yeah. And, I'd imagine like it'd be, as a like artist, and maybe not you, maybe it doesn't apply to you, but like, I feel like it would be really hard not to get into your own head when you write.
Yeah.
And like, just, am I doing too much? Am I doing too little? Like, and this is like my favorite question to ask, is how do you know when a song is finished, when it's good to go, when like, you don't want to do any more to it, you think you've done enough to it, do like bells start going off in your head, like, okay, this is good to go, we're done here? Or is like, how do you kind of know when a song's ready to go and you said everything you wanted to say?
Well, that was my answer. As soon as I feel like I've said everything I have to say, I'm like, okay, this is finished. So I won't put in a bridge unless I feel like I have something else to say. I think for me, the songwriting is definitely the most important part of the process and the story of the song. So if I've said everything I need to say, you'll hear an instrumental. And if I feel like it needs, if I haven't wrapped the story up or I have to finish the story, I'll often put a bridge in and that'll sum up the rest of the story. Or I'll change the final chorus to be a little bit different. But generally speaking, I'll know it's done when I'm like, yeah, I'm content with the story.
Right on. And I also wanted to talk about which I love talking about, like the live show, right? Like concerts are like my favorite thing. And I think as a fan, this could be different to like the artist, but I think as a fan, the live show is probably like the most important thing to me when it comes to learning of a new artist, just keeping up with them. Like the live show to me is like super important. And I'm wondering, like, first off, how would you describe your live show? And also, like, do you think that connection with it being like if you're a fan or you don't know of this artist and you stumble into like a club or something that they're playing at, and they make a fan for life at that point, and it makes you want to keep going back. Maybe I'm talking out my ass, I don't know. I think the live show is like the most important part about being, you know, in music.
I agree. I completely agree. I think, when you come to our live show, it's interesting. The first song that did well for me is this very short 2-minute ballad called New All. And I had no idea what Spotify was at this point. I kind of just, like I said, super naive and was like, oh, I'll just put this on the internet. And then I had a friend from high school message me going, hey, your face is on the little square of this playlist. I was like, oh, what does that mean? So I had to like ask, and I found my face on it. And I was like, that's cool. I guess that's like a thing that happens, not knowing that it's like pretty rare to happen, particularly when you've never done it before in your life. So I became known for this track, this very short acoustic track, which is hilarious because our live show is such a juxtaposition to that. We definitely, we're a band. Like I've had the same players I've had my bass player for 10 years, my guitar player for 5, and we love putting on a show. So we make sure to cover all bases. Like we are super energetic. Part of the catharsis of playing live for me is just being able to just like energetically just give over to the songs. And I think it's kind of a journey. We have our rockier stuff that we 100% play. And I'll, you know, be running around the stage. And then I will have like a moment where I do my acoustic songs and make it a bit of a special part of the set. So I think to sum it up, if you come and see our show, it's just like it's an emotional arc. It's a bit of a roller coaster. So you're kind of getting a bit of everything. We want to see people dancing, but crying at the same time. No, I'm just kidding. You know what I mean? We cover all bases.
Yeah. And that's how it should be. That's awesome. But Tori, thanks for hopping on. This was great. But before we get out of here, what do we got coming down the pipe? Any new music, shows? What do you got going on that we could look forward to?
Yeah, I've got a new single coming out July 3rd called Notice the Roses. It's a super country track. And it's pretty much just about being a bit of a workaholic and just trying to remain present and enjoy the experiences that, you know, I have this beautiful life and I'm trying really hard to be more present in it. So that's coming out July 3rd. We've got a record coming out towards the end of the year, and I am, fingers crossed, we're going to be back here in 2027 touring the States. So I'm putting it out there. It's going to happen when we're just really excited to get this new music out.
Hell yeah. I can't wait. And you guys definitely make sure to listen to Tori. I don't regret it. I'm glad I got to dive into her stuff. It was really good. And also, where can people find you? Just Tori Forsyth on everything, like socials, yeah. Website, everything like that?
Yeah, you're just at Tori.Forsyth on Instagram, right on. And www.ToriForsyth.com.
Awesome. You guys make sure to do that. Follow Tori. Also, check out Rowdy Alternative, Raise Rowdy, Google us, we'll show up. We're on everything. So, Tori, thanks for hopping on. This was great. Thanks, everyone else, for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks so much. My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Gonna take you home tonight.